Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. You're in the Grey Lodge with your boy Isaac Weishaupt. And today we're talking about Twin Peaks Season 2, Episode 6, Demons, a.k.a. Episode 13. And today we're breaking down a very important episode. It's going to reveal the entire truth of what's going on in the Twin Peaks story, hidden in plain sight. I think we had an episode not too long ago with a similar sort of revelation, if you're keeping notes. And of course, we're going to catch up on all the locals, the love affairs of Twin Peaks. Audrey gets back home, lots of owls not being what they seem. But we're going to hear about how the one-armed man fits into the saga of what's going on, dare I say cosmologically, in the Twin Peaks universe. We've got dissociative identity disorders. We've got shape-shifting lizard people. There's a lot of conspiracy theories here. Get your chihuahuas and get ready. It starts out. If you recall, at the end of the last episode, there was some drama. Donna was trying to scheme on Harold so that her and Maddie could steal Laura's secret diary that he was in possession of, if you recall. He catches them in the act, and he's looking real crazy. He's got his gardening tool. I don't know what it's called. I know it's not a hoe. That's all I can tell you about it. And he's actually covering up one eye. He's showing the all-seeing eye symbolism. And again, there's lots of images from this one that, of course, I will always be posting on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. And he's scolding Maddie and Donna, shaming them. And then what do you know? James, showing some emotion, breaks in, saves Donna and Maddie. Harold's losing it, screaming in agony, spraying his orchids with whatever, fertilizer, I don't know. James then rekindles his romance with Donna once again. Maddie, she's watching. Her heart is breaking a little bit. She's now back to third wheel status. We get a cut of, we see some owls in the woods, some foreboding danger. What's going to happen in this episode and the next episode? So Cooper, remember, he saved Audrey from One-Eyed Jack's. He brings her back to the Bookhouse Boys hideout, gets her onto a bed. Confirms that she's got some heroin track needle marks. I don't know. He basically confirms that Blackie and Jean Renault were making this Audrey take heroin. And you can tell Audrey's really matured. She's changed through this whole process. You know, back in the pilot, she was poking holes in people's coffee cups. She's also sort of bonding with Cooper in a different way. You know, Cooper's always giving out daddy energy. And in this scene, you feel like they're going to smooch. You feel like they're going in for the kiss. But Cooper, always taking the high road, just caresses her. Okay. And, you know, of course, she's in high school. So, of course, Cooper being with the FBI is not going to do that. She is 18. But nonetheless, he sees it's improper, so he will not do it. We all kind of want him to do it. Why? I don't know. Probably because Sherilyn Fenn was, I want to say, 25 when they filmed this, so she doesn't seem like a high schooler. It's one of those weird anomalies of Twin Peaks. But Cooper, you know, doing the right thing. Because of course, a grown man should not be with a senior in high school, all right? So then Cooper and Truman, they're discussing how they're going to move forward now that they've saved Audrey. In Truman's office, you'll see paintings of owls. Okay? Meanwhile, Shelley and Bobby, they're trying to scheme on the government, trying to get that Uncle Sugar cash for taking care of Leo Johnson because he's in a vegetative state, I think. Is that right? I don't know. Yeah, I think he's in a vegetative state in the wheelchair. And Bobby's like, we're going to cash in. We're going to make like $5,000 a month doing this. Turns out it was only $700. Bobby Briggs. You know, Shelly, she can't resist these bad boys. And this is what happens. You're broke. Back at the sheriff's department, Donna tells Sheriff Truman about Laura Palmer's secret diary and how they were trying to get it from Harold's apartment. Truman's skeptical about this, but he's like, look, I'll get someone over there to check it out. Meanwhile, FBI Chief Gordon Cole shows up and talks about the one-armed man being on drugs. He calls him the one-armer. How it was and that's what's funny about Twin Peaks is I feel like there's multiple sort of digs at this guy only having one arm. Like, it's kind of funny to David Lynch, I'm thinking. I don't know. And he talks about the drug that the one armor was on, and it's a combination drug they're not able to identify. He calls it, or Albert calls it, really weird stuff. So this isn't a normal drug. Not a normal schizophrenia drug. And the first thing I think of is adrenochrome. For no particular reason. Besides the multiple identity disorder thing, maybe. I don't know. It just put me into the conspiracy mind frame. Because I feel like the FBI surely would know what every drug that exists is called. Meanwhile, Albert, he had also... Not meanwhile... Gordon Cole is reporting to Cooper and Truman all the stuff that he found, and Albert says they found some papers from the diary near the crime scene. Albert also found fibers from a vicuna coat in the hallway from where someone shot Cooper at the end of season one. Because we're still trying to figure out who shot Cooper at the end of season one. Then Cooper goes to talk to Ben Horn about how Audrey overdosed from heroin drugs. And there's a clear distinction made between Cooper, who actually cares about Audrey, and Audrey's own father, Ben, who does not. He's mostly interested in getting back that briefcase full of cash. And Audrey, she's pissed at Ben, at her father, because she knows he's a creeper. She knows that he owns One Eye Jacks, and he was trying to bang her. But he doesn't know that she knows. The Nadine storyline, she's still acting like a teenager. She's still with Big Ed. She wants to neck under the bleachers. Another mysterious Asian guy instructs Josie to get on a flight back to Hong Kong because Mr. Eckhart wants her back there. She doesn't want to leave, though. She's like, I got money coming my way. I'm not leaving. Maddie, you know, she's heartbroken a little bit. She tells James, look, I gotta leave. There's some feelings here. And, you know, she reveals how she kind of enjoyed playing the role of Laura Palmer and receiving the gazes from James, his vapid, emotionless gazes. But she's like, look, but I gotta go. I gotta go back to Missoula, Montana. Then back at the Great Northern, Ben is doing a toast with Josie, a toast to the fire, which is odd. But you'll notice there in front of the fireplace, there's always symbolism of Ben Horn with fire. He's always smoking a cigar. He's always in front of a fireplace. It's symbolic of masculine energy or the devil, maybe, right? They're really painting Ben Horn in a really evil light. Josie demands that Ben Horn pay out her share because, you know, she's going back to Hong Kong. She's like, I gotta get paid first. But Ben is saying, he threatens her and he says, look, if you push too hard, I'm going to release the contents of this dossier I've got on you and your late husband, Andrew Packard. But Josie reveals she also has a dossier on Ben in a bank safety deposit box that's going to put him away. So he cuts Josie a check, and she's heading out of Twin Peaks now. She's leaving. Bobby and Shelley, they give Leo Johnson a welcome home party. A little bit of comedy here. Leo's got a kazoo in his mouth, which every time he exhales, you can hear the kazoo kind of going. Subtle, dark humor. And Bobby and Shelley, they make out in front of him, and it appears that he's watching, so maybe he's more conscious than we think he is. All the awful things that Leo Johnson has done is coming back to him at this very moment. So Gordon and Cooper linked up, and he tells Cooper that he reminds him of a small Mexican chihuahua. We never find out why. Kind of weird. One of those weird things. But Cole talks about how he believes in synchronicity, right? That's the Twilight language. We talk about it many times. And also, if you want to go deeper into it, could tie you into the ideas of ritual magic and the idea of the hermetic action, as above, so below, and the universe speaking to you and the universe opening a path for you, those kinds of things. And Cole references parallels between what's happening in Twin Peaks right now and something that happened to Cooper in Pittsburgh. There's going to be more on that. Cole changes the subject and says, sometimes 2 and 2 don't always equal 4. And he references this anonymous letter that he received about an opening chess movement and realizes it's from Cooper's old partner, Wyndham Earl. There's that Wyndham Earl guy again. What's this guy going to be up to? Ben gets Leland back into the swing of things and tests him out with his particular situation of these competing interests in partners for the Ghostwood Estate project. And they basically want to buy some time. Leland, he's pretty sharp though still. He's got all of his stall tactics in mind. Leland's back. All right. And you'll notice Leland is intrigued by this stuffed white animal behind Ben's couch. What's that about? Josie, she's packing her bags with Mr. Lee, the other mysterious Asian guy. And they're heading out of town, but Truman shows up unannounced, and he tries his best to keep her there. He's confessing his love. But, you know, this Mr. Eckhart guy is very threatening. And she has to leave now, especially because that sawmill got sold. She's got to go. So she seems to be under duress. Truman's kind of at a loss. He doesn't know what to do. Then the other mysterious Asian guy, Mr. Tojimura, meets up with Ben Horn. And we hear that Mr. Tojimura's family was in Nagasaki. Now, this is interesting because this is yet another reference to the atomic bomb. Mr. Tojimura says, I know a little bit about fire. And we see Ben smoking a cigar in front of the fire. All right? There's a connection of smoke, fire, and evil in Twin Peaks. It's a recurring motif. People will, at certain times, smell smoke or, like, burnt oil. Season 3 gets into some more of these ideas. And also, you see at the Great Northern what I don't... It looks like a carving of a giant pine weasel. I don't know. I'll put it in the images. If you've seen Twin Peaks, you know that that becomes a reference later on in Season 2. Just a joke of sorts. So Leland, he's doing a bit of karaoke. Ben wants to shut him down ASAP because it's looking bad. He's trying to close all these deals, and Leland's out there looking crazy. So finally, we get back to the One Armor, and this is where things get interesting, and I want to spend a little bit of time on this. I'm going to play a clip from you, and what's happening is the One Armor, a.k.a. Philip Gerard, is at the Sheriff's Department, and he's being interrogated by Truman and Cooper and such. And we hear about the drug that he's taken and about how it's given to people with split personalities. And he's about to go undergo this mental shift into this other personality if he doesn't take the drug. This is very important to the storyline, so I'm going to play the clip. Take a listen.
Please give me my medicine. I can feel the change.
Oh, what change?
The drug found in his possession contains trace elements usually found in haloperidol. Do you suffer from schizophrenia? Multiple personalities?
It's too late.
You know this man, don't you? Why did you lie to me when I questioned you?
It wasn't me. Don't you understand? It wasn't me.
Give him the drug, Chief.
Not yet.
If we give him the drug, Coop, you'll never see the other side.
Give him the medicine.
No!
Oh, There is no need for medicine. I am not in pain.
Who are you?
My name is Mike.
What are you?
I am an inhabiting spirit.
Who is Philip Girard?
He is host to me.
You spoke to me in my dream about Bob.
He was my familiar.
Where does Bob come from?
That cannot be revealed.
What does Bob want?
He is Bob, eager for fun. He wears a smile. Everybody run. Do you understand the parasite? It attaches itself to a life form and feeds. Bob requires a human host. He feeds on fear and the pleasures. They are his children. I am similar to Bob. We once were partners. Through the darkness, a future past, the magician longs to see. One chance out between two worlds. Fire, walk with me. Oh, but then I saw the face of God and was purified. I took off the arm, but remained close to this vessel, inhabiting from time to time for one single purpose.
To find Bob.
To stop him! This is his true face. But few can see it. The gifted. And the damned.
Is Bob near us now?
For nearly 40 years.
Where?
A large house made of wood, surrounded by trees. The house is filled with many rooms, each alike, but occupied by different souls, night after night.
Great Northern Hotel.
So they don't give Philip the drug to stop him from going into this other personality. And he does, right? He goes into this other dissociative identity disorder, whatever, called Mike. And Mike says he's an inhabiting spirit, and Philip Girard is just a host. And we also learn that Bob, this killer Bob, is Mike's familiar. And we also hear that we can't hear where Bob comes from. Mike, the spirit Mike, explains that Bob is a parasite that feeds on human fear and pleasures. And of course, that takes us down a little side tangent. We're going to cover all this here soon. And Mike says that one time he was partners with Bob. Then him and Cooper recite the magician poem there about that ends in fire, walk with me. We'll analyze that again. And Mike says he saw the face of God and was purified, so he cut off Philip's arm, and now his mission is to inhabit Philip's body and try and stop Bob. Why is he trying to stop Bob? Mike says only a few people can see Bob's face, the gifted and the damned. And Mike says that Bob is currently at a place where there's different rooms inhabited by different souls, and Cooper exclaims, "It's the Great Northern Hotel," and then the credits roll, and that's the end of the episode. So let's take another look at this. The drug that Philip is taking, the one armor, seems to be related to multiple personalities. And Cooper purposely holds it back so he can see the other side of Philip. All right. The other side. And that's a term used in Kabbalah to represent the other side of the Kabbalistic tree of life, to the dark side. That's where the Klipoth reside. That's where the fallen angels exist, which, you know, depending on how in-depth on Twin Peaks stuff you want to go, maybe that's where the storyline goes. And we hear that Philip is the host for Mike, and that Bob was Mike's familiar. Now, a familiar is a term referenced in medieval supernatural entities used to assist in magical functions. And these spirits can manifest as animals. So in the case of Twin Peaks, that's explaining to us what owls are, I believe. Owls are familiars. These spirits, like Bob and Mike, can inhabit the owls so they can perform their magical functions. Esoteric philosopher Pierre Raffard defined a familiar as follows. A familiar spirit, alter ego, doppelganger, personal demon, personal totem, spirit companion, is the double, the alter ego of an individual. It does not look like the individual concerned. Even though it may have an independent life of its own, it remains closely linked to the individual. The familiar spirit can be an animal. So that explains to what I think the owls are. The owls are the familiars for these spirits, or demons. And that, of course, points us to Bob. And where is Bob from? Well, it cannot be revealed. That's pretty mysterious. What does Bob want? He's eager for fun, silly. And, of course, his fun is evil. And you hear Mike talk about how parasites attach to life forms and they feed off of them. Bob requires a human host, and he feeds on fear and pleasure. Now this, if you recall, if you've ever followed David Icke's work, he talks about the Archons. And these Archons are more or less evil entities that require a human host to manifest into our dimension. And the Archon's true form is, you know, that's where the shape-shifting lizard people idea comes from, because that's supposed to be the Archon's true form, is the lizard people. So they feed off of fear as a form of sustenance, to do an energy shift enough to appear as human, and when they lose, when they don't have enough food, enough fear, they shift back into lizard people. That's the explanation for why sometimes you see video clips and you'll see news reporters and they look like they're turning into reptile people and stuff like that. That's the theory. Did David Icke just watch Twin Peaks? Maybe. Mike, the spirit inhabiting Philip, is similar to Bob. They used to be partners, so it's presumed that they both were evil entities feeding off of fear. And we'll come back to that in a second, but Cooper and Mike, they recite the poem about how the magician longs to see. And this is from season 1, episode 2. Where Cooper had that dream that he was an older man in the Red Room. And that was when Mike, the one-armed guy, his name is Mike in the Red Room, talks to Cooper. And the poem, of course, through the darkness of future's past, the magician longs to see one chance out between two worlds, fire walk with me. And Mike said, this is back from episode 2. We lived among the people, I think you say convenience store, we lived above it. I mean it like it sounds. I too have been touched by the devilish one, tattoo on the left shoulder, but when I saw the face of God, I was changed. I took the entire arm off. My name is Mike, his name is Bob. And that concept was that there was two worlds there, right? And there's references to fire. We talked about, back on that episode, cosmic fire, which occurred at the Jornada del Muerto, which is the atomic bomb testing. Arguable that it would could have ended all civilization, which is kind of what we're looking at here. And Mike says on this episode, he tells Cooper, he says, he saw the face of God. He was purified and took off his arm. And now, and it's, if I'm not mistaken, it was his left arm that he took off as well, meaning maybe he was going down the left-hand path, which is the path for Satanists and the path of separation from God. Maybe that's what that symbolizes. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's Mike's left arm that's missing. Or Philip, I should say. And we hear that Mike is here to stop Bob. So he apparently is the opposing polarity of the evil force of Bob. He is now the good force. And it's his one single purpose. And we hear that few people can see Bob's face, only the gifted and the damned, which would be Sarah Palmer, Laura Palmer, and Maddie. They are the gifted and the damned. And you can see they all go through a lot of ups and downs. And then we hear about how long Bob's been around. And guess how long he's been around? About 40 years. He says nearly 40 years. And if you go from 1989, when this takes place, go back 40 years, you're at 1949, which puts us really close to that atomic bomb testing at Trinity in 1945, which also gave us the subsequent UFO crash at the Trinity site. Or the Roswell crash in 1947, which some people claim is tied to Jack Parsons' Babylon working. And Kenneth Grant, in his, I believe it was the Typhonian trilogy, talked about how all those that atomic testing was opening up portals. So in conclusion, recall that the name of this episode is Demons, which I believe is a reference to Bob and Mike before he saw the face of God. So, in conclusion, I think what we're looking at here, what we're setting up, is a battle of good versus evil, of Bob versus Mike. And they're using the owls, the familiars, the town of Twin Peaks to sort of play out this battle. That's what it seems like. So next time, I want you to watch Season 2, Episode 7, Lonely Souls, and this one is one of the bangers. This is one of the banger episodes. By the time it's said and done, you're going to feel a lot of things. So get ready for that one. I would recommend not to watch that one on the phone. I would recommend sort of focusing in, watching it on a screen, getting really into the moment. Because it's real good. And that's all I'll say about it. Okay, thanks for listening. Till next time, stay woke.